We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey, everybody jump.
It is a good Tuesday morning to one and all. Taz and the Moose with you, coming to you live from Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. We've got Mike and Pete across the other side at the controls. Andrew with your updates as we take you right up until 9 a.m. Eastern time, 6 Pacific here on CBS Sports Radio. Taz back in the fold. What's going on, brother? How are you?
Good, Moose. Good. Good to be back. Good to be back. A lot to talk about today, right?
Yeah, a lot to get into. Kevin Kugler with a great call on Westwood One last night as... Sometimes when you don't expect a great game or expect a little bit of a boring game, there is a great game and an all-time classic. And that's exactly what we got last night as the Virginia Cavaliers are your national champions as they survive against Texas Tech, blowing two 10-point leads, one in the first half, one in half number two, trailing late down three, under 22 seconds left in regulation before the big DeAndre Hunter three to tie it. They go to overtime, then... With a two-point lead, the out-of-bounds play where you initially thought it was off Moretti or off of Guy, and then eventually gets called off Moretti. Virginia gets the ball. Guy gets fouled going to the basket. He hits two free throws, and that's pretty much all she wrote. From that point forward is a free throw shooting contest as the Texas Tech Red Raiders went cold in overtime for Chris Beard, unfortunately for them. And the Virginia Cavaliers are able to spurt away at that stage and finish the season off and finish the championship off on what was a great night of college basketball. It really was a classic. If you sat back and watched it, you were treated to it. It ended late into the night, well after 11, I think well after 11:30, close to midnight Eastern time. It was a fun basketball game and two teams playing at their absolute peak.
Hey, listen, absolutely. What an awesome way, Moose, right, to just cap off the college basketball season throughout, a long season, and a tournament that at some of the games, were men's and men's, but there were definitely a handful of overtime games. And I think as we got deeper into the tournament, the games were better and better, but the national championship game that we saw with the Red Raiders falling to the Cavaliers was definitely epic. And to go to overtime, and obviously the story, right, the story of redemption over a year. What a difference a year makes. I mean, from last year, where the Cavaliers lose to they're a one seed and they lose to a 16 seed in UMBC and fall. And it's like for Bennett to get this team back on track, to get these kids back locked in for the year, use it as motivation, shows the character not just of Coach Bennett, but of what he's done with his players here and that Virginia program.
I mean, no question. And, we chatted with Jim Miller before the Final Four last week, before Saturday night in the two national semifinals. I asked him the question, if last year didn't happen, do you think this Virginia team is where they are? And, he was like, probably not. They've had laser focus since then. It's a team that's only got one senior on it, that's Salt, who's going to be leaving now. You could have Ty Jerome. You could have DeAndre Hunter. Declare for the NBA draft, and Hunter will probably be a lottery selection. Jerome could be a first-round draft choice, the New Rochelle, New York native. But, it is a – as Kugler gave you the call on Westwood One, it was a great call, from ruin to redemption. Because to go from where they were a year ago to where they are now, and they're the only team in the history of NCAA basketball and only group that's going to have the understanding of what it's like to go through it because they were the first to do it. And when you're the first to do it, and you're the first one seed to lose to a 16, and then to be able to battle back and win a national championship and have the miraculous comeback against Purdue, and then survive against Auburn, and then come back last night and have two 10-point leads, blow those leads, eventually win the game in overtime, get the big three by DeAndre Hunter at the end of regulation. It was a remarkable magic carpet kind of a ride for the Virginia Cavaliers. And, they had this focus after last year. I don't know if they'd be here if last year did not transpire. But they are here nonetheless, and they were crowned national champions last night as everybody in UVA Nation celebrates.
Yeah, and you know, and listen, we've talked a lot about as we got closer and closer to the Final Four and now the national championship that just happened, obviously, but about defense, about how awesome Virginia is in, defensively and how awesome Texas Tech, the Red Raiders, are defensively. And, you know, to come in there for a kid like, you know, what's his name? DeAndre Hunter. I'm happy for a kid like that. Because, you know, Moose, I think you said it last week during our program. I'm pretty sure it was you. And Hunter really wasn't having a great tournament. He wasn't, like, doing unbelievable. But last night he was spot on, spectacular, dropping 27 points. He played great. He stepped up huge for his squad against an unbelievable defensive team in Texas Tech. So I was happy for that kid. I really was.
Yeah, and Texas Tech is certainly going to look back on that defensive possession, up three, late in regulation, under 22 seconds to go on the drive by, I believe it was Ty Jerome, and they leave DeAndre Hunter wide open on the right side, in the right corner, and he drains a three with nobody around him. I mean, that's a mistake defensively. At that stage, up three, you cannot leave anybody behind the three-point arc.
Yeah.
Especially with somebody, and I get the defense of trying to collapse and prevent, and that's really Texas Tech defense, prevent any kind of dribble drive penetration. But at that stage, you got to protect the three-point line, and they didn't. And that's one that Beard's going to look back on and say, you know, we had the game exactly where we wanted it. You give up the layup there, then it becomes a free throw shooting contest, and we'll see exactly where we land at the end of it. But they left him. DeAndre Hunter drains the three, tied up at 68. Texas Tech has a couple cracks, including an inbounds play with 1 second left in regulation, where it was not a well-drawn-up play or executed play, where you see the Texas Tech player Culver's shot get blocked. I mean, Taz, it's, you know, for Texas Tech and for Virginia, we expected kind of a rock fight where it was going to be, you know, the first of 50 or the first of 55. Yeah. You have a game in which, you know, Virginia is 20 of 23 from the free throw line, hits 11 threes. Texas Tech hits 10 threes. Texas Tech in the second half was shooting, tad over 55% from the floor. You know, they end up shooting the ball, you know, nearly 43%. Virginia nearly 46%. It is you know, you got a great game. I know it's not the sexiest names out there in college basketball when you think about Virginia and Texas Tech, but you sat there and you watched what was two teams playing some of their best basketball, and neither one of those teams deserved to lose. Texas Tech deserves something for all of their efforts to be able to go through Michigan and Gonzaga and Michigan State the way that they did, to battle back from 10 down with under 10 to play last night in the national championship game, and come steamrolling down the stretch to actually take a three-point lead late. Nobody deserved to lose that basketball game. It's unfortunate that the tears were flowing for Texas Tech, but somebody had to come out the loser. And unfortunately for them, it was them. And for Virginia, they showed you the will of a champion, because anytime they needed to make a play, Taz, they did.
They sure did. Clutch. And were the Cavaliers were spectacular in OT at the free throw line. Spectacular. And that's clutch. That's pressure, right? Not much pressure than that. When no one's moving around you, you're at the line, and you're a national championship, and you're in overtime, and you got to start, you know, dropping buckets. But, you know, you mentioned Texas Tech a lot in there when you were just saying it. And you know, obviously their head coach, Chris Beard, deserves a lot of credit because, you know, he's just such a bright, awesome, you know, coach in college basketball. A guy I feel that's really on the big time come up as far as being a major name as a head coach. And I think this helped him yesterday. You know, of course, he'd rather his team win. But really was, I think this was great for Texas Tech basketball. You know, they looked great. And he, you know, he does a great job keeping his guys locked in. They never quit. They kept fighting. They played great. And you know, who doesn't like Beard, right? He's a great coach.
Yeah, I mean, he's a top five coach in the country when you look at X's and O's. I mean, that's what Chris Beard is, that's what he's done. You got to remember a Texas Tech team that lost four starters off last year's team that went to a regional final, and they come back, a team that was predicted to finish seventh in the Big 12 before the start of the regular season. They win the Big 12 regular season conference title, a team where there was not these kind of expectations. There were a year ago. And they played to those expectations. And this year with the likes of Davide Moretti and certainly Mooney, and we know how good Culver is, who played poorly last night, 5 of 22 from the floor. You needed more from Jarrett Culver last night in order to win a national championship as he finished with just 15 points. Yeah, there's no doubt in terms of Chris Beard. I mean, he's going to probably get a nice raise at Texas Tech. He's probably going to be in the neighborhood of making $4 million a year, and he's done a great job with that program to get to the Final Four for the first time in Texas Tech history, to go to a national championship game for the first time, to be that close to winning a national championship at what is not known as a basketball school, Taz. It's remarkable the job that Chris Beard has been able to do.
It really is. And you know, if you are if you're Texas Tech, the AD's office, and just the university in general, yeah, you're right. He's making a plethora of money, but you know, he will get bumped up big time. His leverage is huge, and listen, you got to keep this guy there. You got to make this guy happy. This guy Chris Beard, they're recruiting just as you know throughout this tournament, and especially after last night. Even though they lost, you're going to get some of the best players in the country that are looking to jump to head to Texas Tech. Top high school guys, blue chip kids. So, you know, you want to try and lock that guy in, and I'm sure some way, somehow, Texas Tech will get him his money and get him to stay there. And you build a program around a guy like this, just like Tony Bennett with Virginia. You build programs around these type guys. These are the new Coach K's. These are the new, Izzo's. These are the guys, man. They're a little bit younger, right? A little bit. And then these are the guys. So, but you're right. It was an awesome game last night. I stayed awake for the bulk of it into OT. I started to doze a little because, we get up early here. But I caught some of the highlights of the very tail end of it this morning here in my due diligence of my show prep.
There you go. And you look at it, I mean, for Beard taking advantage of the transfers. I mean, Tariq Owens started his career at St. John's in Queens before transferring to Texas Tech. We know Mooney has not played his entire career at Texas Tech. So, we'll see exactly, and Beard eventually will probably, he's only 46 years old.
He's
is going to get an opportunity to run a big-time basketball program in the not-so-distant future, if he so should choose, but that's not what they're thinking about last night, as he was emotional, and you could tell that certainly the disappointment was running strong. I think he firmly believed, that team firmly believed, going back to that game on Saturday night after they knocked off Michigan State, Beard and Mooney got interviewed on CBS, and they were asking questions about that game. And that's a game in which Mooney dropped in 22 points and was doing a Steph Curry impression in half number two. And he looked at his coach. He said, "We got one more to go." And it was clearly a team that had the one singular focus, as both teams did do. I think there were a lot of people that were on Texas Tech last night and thought that defense, it was amazing the style and fashion which they lost, in which, it was a defensive breakdown that did them in late. And as I mentioned, you need stars to play big in big-time moments. DeAndre Hunter drops in 27. Jerome was great when he needed to be. Guy draining threes from the outside. The big three for Virginia were better than, I would probably say, the big three for Texas Tech when you
big
look
time.
At Owens, Culver, and, say, potentially Mooney.
Mooney, yeah.
They were just better, and they needed more from Culver. It's one thing to survive against a team like Michigan State, who's a flawed basketball team, Taz, where Culver struggles in half number one. You're not going to be able to survive a game in which Jarrett Culver goes 5 for 22 in a national championship game.
Not against Virginia's defense, especially.
He needed to give you 23, 24 points last night.
Right.
He needed to be what DeAndre Hunter was. And unfortunately for Texas Tech, he wasn't. And he's not the only reason why they're going to go. Listen, they gave up a ton of points for what is, you're talking about the two best statistic defensive teams in the nation. And you saw an over-under going into it that was around 118. And you got a game in which Virginia scores 85 and Texas Tech scores 77.
Yeah, I know. And on Saturday night when the Cavs dropped to Auburn, okay, right? Hunter, again, when I was talking about Hunter, DeAndre Hunter, he played good. He scored 14 points. But throughout the tournament, he wasn't playing
great. No, he wasn't great.
He wasn't. But last night, like you just laid out, man, he really stepped up big, man. 27 points and 9 rebounds. And he really, really, he was a key component along with Guy. They're great. The top three, but you nailed it. Your commentary is perfect there, man, because the top three for Virginia more than outplayed the top two or three for Texas Tech. I mean, I like Moretti, the kid from Italy, and for Texas Tech. He dropped 15. He had a good game. He wasn't off the chart great, but I've seen him play better. But look, you're playing again. You got two really, like we've said many times, they have two tremendous defensive teams here. I think coaching-wise, maybe Bennett squad out, coach Texas Tech a little bit, not just because they won the game, because you're shutting down a guy like Culver and keep him to 15 points. It's damn impressive. That's hard to do, and he did it.
You know what? I think Culver was put. I think if you watch him offensively this year and you watch him last night, I think he started to press a little bit and do things that he was a little unaccustomed to doing when things started not going his way. And that's where I think, you know, the lack of experience being, I think he's just a sophomore, hurts him up a little bit. Now, DeAndre Hunter, you know, missed a layup initially, right? Then on the second offensive possession for Virginia, had about a 15-footer that he was long on, missed that. But after that, I mean, DeAndre Hunter, basically, you know, he missed, six shots the rest of the way. He finishes with 27, and he hits 4 3-pointers. You know what, Taz? I don't think it's necessarily anything. I think it's about execution. You know, Tony Bennett after the game said, coaches, we get too much credit, and when we lose, we get too much blame. I think it was just a matter of Virginia out-executing Texas Tech. I thought Beard's game plan was good. I mean, you know, Chris Beard certainly, I don't think he expected his player to leave DeAndre Hunter
wide open
on the penetration and leave him wide open
in the right corner.
When they're up three, you know, as the clock is ticking down, you're under 15 seconds to go, and he drains a wide open 3-pointer, Taz, where most college players, when you don't have a guy within 10 feet of you, they're going to hit that 3-point shot, right?
How do you leave him open?
Like, he's the key guy. Especially how well he was playing in that game.
Right, well, right, exactly.
I mean, he shot 50% on the floor, and he shot 80% from behind the arc. I mean, you can't leave DeAndre Hunter.
You can't.
And was 7-9 from the free throw line. Can't do it.
And you know, in their scouting report, they know Hunter's the guy.
Can't leave him.
And you can't leave him. And you're right. And he's playing great. You got to be all over him. You got to have someone married to his hip. But they didn't. They left him wide open. And the redshirt sophomore Hunter, the big guard, you know, boom, he dropped it. Yeah, no, they looked great.
Yeah, they really did. Let's hear from Tony Bennett, the UVA head coach. They bring a national championship, first one for that Virginia program. Here's his thoughts on the initial reaction after the win.
I think it was a terrific game to see how these guys played. The one thing I said to them before in the locker room, I said, you guys face pressure that no team in the history of the game has faced, well, really all year, but being down 14 against Garner Webb, I said, and you did not panic in that moment, and you fought, and you found a way out. I said, that, I think, has prepared you for this moment to be able to handle the pressure or the intensity of a national championship game. And these guys stepped up. What, DeAndre, is that your career high, 27? What a game to have it. I mean, he was terrific. Ty, these three all year have been unbelievable. And if one was a little off, someone picked up in the team. So it was, to me, it appeared, from my standpoint, to be a high-level game. And, we scored 85. That was in that setting, so good stuff.
Yeah, it really was. Here is DeAndre Hunter, fresh off his 27-point championship game performance.
I was aggressive in the first half, I believe, but my shots just weren't falling. And I just tried to do the same thing in the second half, and my shots were falling. So just staying aggressive, that's it.
Yeah, I mean, he certainly did stay aggressive, Taz, and his teammates believed
it. Fast talker.
Yeah, no doubt. And you know, it was interesting for Tony Bennett, who wanted to give credit certainly to all the players. And, you know, a message when they were down 14 to Gardner Webb was he told his team in a huddle, don't look at the scoreboard, play your game. And we'll be all right. And they played their game, and they ended up, blowing Gardner Webb out in the second half. And that was a 1-16 matchup when everyone's thinking, oh, here we go again with
UVA. Just imagine the flashbacks, right?
Right, having those kind of flashbacks and saying, here we go again. A team where, you know, Kyle Guy, they referenced this on the radio last night, after that loss went into a severe depression, Taz.
Yeah,
And really struggled, and his girlfriend, now fiance, helped him get through it. Certainly the support of his teammates and everything and the like. You're talking about a kid that was, you know, Mr. Basketball in Indiana coming out of high school, which is, if you know anything, Indiana basketball is as good as it gets.
Absolutely.
And as no doubt. And to come from that point to where they are today, remarkable coaching, but the belief on that team to not come apart at the seams, Taz, following that 1-16 loss, and to now be national champions. I mean, sometimes you got to be patient in life. I don't think Virginia ever expected from the depths of that despair to have this kind of celebration this morning.
And again, from that first matchup against Gardner-Webb this year in this tournament, for Bennett to keep his kids poised like that so they don't look at the scoreboard, that shows, again, the greatness of Tony Bennett.
Really does. Here's Chris Beard, the Texas Tech head coach, following the loss.
At first, I just want to congratulate Virginia basketball and Coach Bennett and tell him how much respect we have for their program. The game was everything we thought it would be. Thought it would come down to one last possession, and it did in regulation. And then in overtime, it just got away from us a little bit. But nothing but respect for their program, their coaches, their players, their fans. I thought it was a great national championship game.
Oh, it was an all-time great. Here's Jared Culliver, his star after the loss.
Yeah, we felt like we had momentum because we came back from about 10. So we for sure felt like we had momentum, and our mindset was just a five-minute game. We've been prepared for it. We practice every day, so I mean, we just didn't come out on top tonight.
Yeah, I mean, and listen, congratulations to both programs. Really a remarkable championship game, Taz.
Absolutely.
And the other thing is that, you know, you're not looking at one and dones either. You know, it's not one where we're talking about, you know, where when you go into it, oh, this is going to be his last game. He's a freshman. He's going to be the number one overall pick. I think for kind of, you know, college basketball diehards, it's refreshing when you're watching a game in which you're seeing, you know, redshirt sophomores, a guy that's like Hunter has been in the program 3 years, or a guy who's a junior. Jerome's a junior. You look at, Jared Culliver, who's developed into a top six NBA draft choice. You know, he's a sophomore. Mooney's a transfer senior. I think for a lot of basketball guys and college hoops fans watching it to where you're not, you know, run over by the one and done, Taz.
Yeah.
It's kind of refreshing seeing guys that have been – there are good college basketball players. Some have futures as pros.
Sure.
Maybe some playing over in Europe. Maybe some in the NBA. But guys that are not just going to be there for the regular season, run in March, conference tournament, and they're done.
Well, you're building something.
Correct.
You know? You're building something. You're building tradition in a program. Yeah, it's nice.
Yeah, and because if UVA, if all those guys left after last year, it wouldn't be the sense of redemption. For the program, it would. It wouldn't be for every one of those individual players.
Well, the story wouldn't be the story.
No.
It'd be all new kids, new freshmen in
there.
Like, that was it. And you'd move it on. Those other guys moved to the NBA if that was the case. But that wasn't the case. It's nice that there is a story of redemption there. And everybody loves a good comeback, of course.
The Virginia basketball team pulls it off. We continue to discuss the incredible turnaround from UVA and Tony Bennett. It's Taz and the Moose with you on this Tuesday morning right here, CBS Sports Radio.
Give Taz and the Moose a call, 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. Listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, 855-212-4227 is your number to call. Bogus is in the house. What's up, Andrew?
They see me strolling, they laughing, and rolling their eyes because I'm so wide and dirty.
I don't want to tattle, Taz, but with you not here yesterday, this didn't get played.
I was just about to ask that.
So I got a one-day reprieve.
So you just sat in, and this wasn't the theme song of the show?
Everything that we took, we gave it a rest yesterday.
Yeah, it just didn't make sense to
here
play.
Here we are.
He's co-hosting the show.
It does make sense to play, because when you do, as rejoin, you should have played it. Every time you came back from break,
stop. You
just have him start the lead, and then, you know, it's his music. It kind of, it's branding Andrew in that role.
It played in my heart.
Yeah,
as I missed you.
So you honestly think 50-year seniors playing 1 year at a school is the same as a one and done?
I don't think it is.
Did I miss something here?
I was listening to the end of your
conversation.
It was, yes.
Maybe you should bring the audience in. Your co-host.
I was going to bring it in. I was going to bring it up. But the point being is that I walk out. He goes, "Well, Mooney and Cole are one and done." I go, "Well, I understand that. At Texas Tech, they're also 50-year college players."
Right.
You're going to pair that to Zion Williams?
I think in terms of roster building.
Oh, stop.
No.
You got to go by age, though, Andrew.
No.
I agree with Moose on this.
Come on. Get out of here. That makes no sense. That makes no sense.
Oh.
I mean, come on. That makes no sense. I walk out to go to the bathroom, and he goes, "Oh, Mooney's one and done at Texas Tech. I go, he's a fifth-year senior.
Oh, he corrected you from what you said on the air off air.
No, I didn't. No, there's no correction. There's
well, you
no,
know what I mean. He No, he critiqued you.
I didn't critique. Why? I wanted to have you guys yell at me when I don't listen.
I don't
now
yell at
I listen. No, but I have a counterpoint. But your point makes no sense.
I haven't been able to say my point yet
because you yelled at me outside and you want me to finish it in here.
No, no. Well, because you come out and you're like, well, they're how would you exactly compare a kid fresh out of high school playing 1 year at Duke to a guy that's been that transfers to Texas Tech, plays 1 year at Texas Tech, and has played 5 years of college basketball?
Okay, here because I don't think Duke lost because of their inexperience, and I don't think Duke losing this year disproves the idea of trying to win by recruiting Zion Williamson and Cam Reddish and R.J. Barrett.
Well, then why
every
is
year.
Then why is Duke then reassessing what they do in recruiting?
Let's see them do it and turn down those kids.
I understand that. Let's see if they do that. But why the one and done? How many championships has Calipari won at Kentucky?
He was 1-1 with one and done.
Okay, thank you.
But Duke was in the Elite Eight.
I understand. Well, they had the best player in America. Zion Williamson.
Right. But the problem was R.J. Barrett was not healthy for the end of the season, and the other guys around them weren't good enough.
No, they weren't. They also weren't well coached by Krzyzewski either.
He absolutely made mistakes.
On the floor was terrible.
So these are all reasons, not their inexperience, why they lost.
Let me ask you: if you don't think experience plays in college basketball, Andrew, you haven't watched enough college basketball.
Did Mooney and Tariq Owens play in the tournament before this year?
Well, it doesn't matter.
Yes, it does.
They played enough. They've got enough college basketball under their belt.
They played college basketball games, but they didn't play college basketball games like this against that kind of
he played
talent
at St.
level.
John's.
Right.
So it's not like he was playing at a JUCO school.
No, but the other guy played at South Dakota.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah. It matters.
It does not matter.
It matters a little bit.
It does not matter.
It does. Go ahead, Taz.
It doesn't matter. The point is, it's an asinine point. It's an asinine point.
And I have to say, I got to agree with Moose here because, listen, it's tough to compare a kid that's a redshirt senior, Mooney, whatever, from Texas Tech. I understand what you're saying, Andrew. It's a different level of this type of game. But it's the eight. I'm telling you, having a kid as a college athlete, there's a big difference, bro. I'm promising you this. Let me finish, sir, please. I work with someone who doesn't let me finish. Let me finish.
Okay?
So what I'm saying is,
let me get into a story. So Taz can get really into his role. They interrupt me every 5 seconds.
I agree with Moose on this because he's right. And there's a big difference. But that age thing is huge, dude. From an 18-year-old to a kid who's pushing 21, 22 years old, big gaps in physicality and stuff like that.
Right, but I don't, but that to me is not why Duke lost. My point is you can't – I don't know that you can go backwards from a result to – the beginning of how you built your team. I don't think that Duke lost, and I don't think that other schools with one-and-dones lost because they had one-and-dones. They lost a particular game in a particular matchup that didn't go their way that day. I don't think it proves or disproves the way you go about things. And Texas Tech didn't win. So, I mean, Virginia's a great example. Virginia's got two guys in Guy and Jerome who were under-recruited, got out of their local areas.
Guy was a top 30 recruit coming out of high school.
But Indiana didn't even look at him at Tom Crean. Jerome got out of New York because they saw him first and liked him first.
Right, I understand that.
I know they were nobodies, but they liked them. They saw more in them than the bigger schools.
Well, just because
Indiana
and Tom Crean didn't recruit, it didn't mean they weren't getting recruited.
I know, Moose, I'm agreeing with you here. They brought those guys in. They developed them. They're here now for multiple years. We know them. We've seen their story. That's a great example. Texas Tech built the team off of last year because they graduated four guys. In a different way, they brought in guys who were only going to be there for 1 year. People didn't know who. No, but listen, it's not the same thing as Virginia. Nobody knew who Tariq Owens was until this year, just like Mooney was, and now they're gone.
Well, that's not. First off, that's not true. If you follow college basketball, you know who Tariq Owens is. Maybe not
Most
Mooney.
Most people did.
No, that's not true. You knew who Owens was. You did not know who Mooney was before the start of this year, but the point being is that, Andrew, is that you cannot compare an 18-year-old to a 21, 22-year-old who's transferring to a school. You just can't. You can't.
So you'd rather take Owens or Mooney over Zion? Is that what you're saying?
It has nothing to do with it. We're getting away from the point that I made. The point I made was it was refreshing for college basketball fans that you had basketball lifers, guys that weren't one and done, winning a championship last night. That's what the point was.
Okay,
we haven't had one and done's win. No, stop. We have had one and done's win. I think people were tired of Zion Williamson, and you come out and say, well, Mooney's one and done. And I said, if you're going to compare Mooney and Cole to Zion Williamson. That makes no sense.
Okay.
That makes no sense. None. I don't care what. That makes no sense.
I got to say, I think it's intriguing that when a man who's co-hosting a show in Mark Malusis. That when he walks out of the studio, the anchor, the update, sports update man, Andrew Bogus, basically just comes at him.
I'm going to go back to not listening.
How do you do that? A man is just he's co-hosting a show, and you come out and critique the guy.
No, you can. I don't care if you critique. I'm not above a critique, but here's the deal. You're going to make a point, make a salient point. You don't come out when you're telling me that his point is asinine.
Well, but
but
you're acting like
this point's stupid.
But you said it's refreshing. It's happened the last 15. I mean, we have two one-and-done teams win, haven't we?
But I think with this year more than anybody where people were hit over the head with the chatter of Zion Williamson to the point where it was almost nauseating. I think people were refreshed that you saw a team like Virginia and two teams like Virginia and Texas Tech play for a national title. That's all.
I agree with that.
That's all.
I agree with that.
Thank you, Taz. Thank you, Mike.
You're welcome, Moose. No, I totally agree.
I mean, honestly.
I agree. It's just the Zion thing was annoying. It's R.J. Barrett started getting annoying, too. He didn't do anything. Because he was teammates.
By next Tuesday, you're going to hate Cam Reddish.
I hate Reddish, too. Hate all those guys. I have no dog in a fight. I'm hating Duke because I'm sick of talking about him. You know what I mean?
I told you this, guys, but here's your report sponsored by the NFL.
So all experience is not experience.
I'm sorry?
All experience is not experience.
I think, every experience is different.
Okay.
No, Chris Mooney and Tariq Owens never played in those games before. Tariq Owens had
night at
St. John's. He played in the
game.
Big East. Yes, it did.
It does not.
Yes, it did.
You're missing the point.
I don't think I'm missing the point.
You are.
I think you're missing the point. I do. Moose is right.
Did they lose last night because
I feel like ramming my head up against the wall. It has nothing to do with the result of the game.
That has nothing to do with the result. His name's Matt Mooney. It has nothing to do with the result of the game. Okay, it's the age, dude.
The point being.
The kids get older, Andrew. I'm just telling you, man.
Taz, I'm not arguing the age difference. I get it. I understand that.
By saying it's same, a redshirt senior and a kid coming out, a kid that's a star, a young guy like Zion Williamson, like they're the same type. They're not, even though Zion's a freak of nature, I understand that, his athleticism, his size. We know all that. At nauseam, we talked about it. All of us, at nauseam. But when a kid is older, I'm telling you, each year when you're at that age, man, you change. You become more of a man. A man, baby. It happens.
Okay.
All right. You don't have to give up.
I mean, you seem defeated.
All right, take it away.
You seem defeated.
I don't want to repeat myself again. You have to repeat yourself again. I'll repeat myself all day.
I know you will.
We're not going to repeat ourselves.
Okay.
It's just
all right, take
just
it
keep repeating myself. No sense. Your point.
No one's saying
that one-and-done players are no longer going to be recruited unless the rules change and those guys are going straight to the NBA. And no one's saying that Zion Williamson's not more talented than Cole or Mooney. That's not the point that I was arguing or the throwaway comment that I made. Yeah. And you come out and you're basically like, this guy's one and done at Texas Tech.
I knew you weren't saying that people weren't going to recruit them. I knew you weren't saying that. When you said that, it took me back to Nance being snarky after Duke lost about one-and-dones and pointing out that only two teams have ever really won going down that route. And I just, to me, the answer always is, well, what are we going to do? Then not recruit these kids?
No, they're going to get recruited.
Of course they are. And people are going to try doing it. And I don't think that those teams necessarily, some of them might have lost because of inexperience. I don't think that Duke lost because of inexperience.
Oh.
Did they lose because they weren't ready for the moment?
As far as you said, I don't think Duke lost experience. It just him was your, oh.
Which part of that game was them being not ready for that moment?
Can I ask you, look at the offensive spacing on the Barrett play down two against Michigan State.
But that's because they were afraid of the moment?
No, that's experience. That's experience. Guys are sitting there watching R.J. Barrett and basically gravitating toward him. Look at the floor spacing of Virginia and Texas Tech in key moments.
Okay, how do you explain the Virginia... Texas Tech not covering DeAndre Hunter on the game tying three regulation.
Well, we talked about that. I understand that.
Well, you want to say they had a poor defensive possession.
Okay, so they had a poor offensive possession.
Left them open.
No, Moose. How come? I'm talking about a Duke team that had three top six recruits, and they played a million basketball games and they're not college games, but some of those high school games are high level high school games in front of thousands of people, probably more people than Mooney played at in South Dakota.
But But if you're looking at, but more is expected of Zion Williamson or R.J. Barrett than Mooney. And Mooney went out there and dropped 22 in the regional semifinal.
And then didn't play well, enough
national semifinal
last night.
It did not play well enough last night. Last night was on Colbert.
So then his experience. So then the experience.
No,
didn't
they didn't
matter
play
then?
Well. No, they didn't play right. Well. But I do think. I mean,
this
if you
like our conversation with the officials.
No, stop.
No,
so
it's the same thing.
So I'm just saying, like yesterday, like I wasn't here, obviously.
Yes.
So I am not the voice of reason. At times, you two guys butt heads.
the point is just.
No, I'm just saying. Like, I do feel for Moose here because I do.
And no, I don't need anybody to feel for me. I can defend myself.
I just
the point being
my
is that
point.
If you're going to come at me,
sentence?
Make a salient point. Make something make sense.
I just want to finish my point. I just feel like, Moose, I'm trying to defend you. You walk outside. You let your guard down. Can I just finish my sentence?
Go ahead.
Thanks, Moose. Thanks. I'm just saying, you walk out. You know, that's a time where we let our guard down. It's time to run to the restroom.
I like this part.
And then next you know, Andrew Bogut is attacking like a pit bull.
He didn't drop an elbow off the desk. He made a comment.
Didn't say that right, Moose.
He made a comment. What bothered me is the comment makes no sense, and he's smarter than that.
He is well.
Okay, enough.
Yeah.
All right.
All.
You don't seriously.
Enough.
Why can we have a regular conversation? Everything goes back to me being stupid.
No,
that's
who
not
said
fair.
Stupid?
He just said I'm smarter than that. What's the difference?
You're smarter than that.
Oh, I see. You're just saying. So it's like a passive aggressive statement.
Yeah. I don't think. We have a lot of conversations. I don't like that. I really don't. He did it to me yesterday too. And every time I'm in here, yeah.
I didn't say smarter.
He keeps repeating himself too.
Smarter than that.
Yeah, no, Moose, that is a little passive-aggressive, I got to say. But it's an expression.
Because again, if we're going to go down this road, your argument has, you can read into all of these different things. Like, Texas Tech is a bad defensive possession, but Duke having a bad offensive possession is about their inexperience. And yesterday, one bad call was about just a bad call. The other was reading into the official bailing him out and doing this.
First off, we're way
all over the place.
No, I'm not. We're because you keep
on
changing.
And you're inconsistent.
No, you keep on changing the
argument. No, I'm just responding to what you're saying.
No, you keep on changing the argument. The point that you made me, first off, if you're the initial comment that I made that you reacted off of, your comment made no sense.
Here's the best part: Moose won't make eye contact with Andrew. A few people have noticed. Even the cameras on.
I talk to you or straight ahead.
Moose won't even look at you. He's so disgusted by your presence and that you're smarter than this. Basically, saying you're a dumbass.
Does he look at you?
No. If we get into a debate, he won't look at me either. And
no.
That's fine. I don't need him looking at me. I don't care if he looks at me. I don't care if he talks to me. I don't
have a conversation.
No, just like usually, you know, you look gaze in someone's eyes like it's a romantic moment. But you just usually make eye contact. You don't
not
look at
all the time.
You're not watching, you know, TV. I mean, you're not walking at your laptop.
I'm not looking
just
at.
Maybe look at the man. You called him a dumbass. Now look at him.
No,
when you call him a
I have looked at him. He's the one that said something to me. I'm not looking for his reaction.
Well, that's true. And you did kind of start this. The guy was going outside to go to the restroom.
It's not just that. You want to bring up a conversation and have a talking point? That's fine. But you're going to bring up something. And you're going to tell me. A fifth-year senior and an 18-year-old out of high school are on the same level experience-wise because you're going to bring up AAU?
Yeah, that's where I'm with
and
you.
And high-level.
Where
you have Zion Williamson dunking on everybody in high school and we're going to draw on the same comparison? Come on.
You're smarter than that, Andrew.
Yes. I've heard that.
Take it away.
But maybe I'm not. Here is your report, sponsored by the NFL. The 2019 NFL Draft from the war rooms to the green rooms. NFL Network covers it all. Live from Nashville, the 2019 NFL Draft starts April 25th on NFL Network, ESPN, ABC, and the NFL app. Certain restrictions apply.
You know, Fordham's a good school move.
They could have lost to Purdue.
I know, Tez.
They could have lost to Auburn. And Virginia could have lost to Texas Tech as well.
Culver driving, spinning to the rim. Layup good. First time in the second half. Texas Tech grabs the lead. 66-65. Red Raiders by one. And a timeout, Texas Tech, with 35.1 seconds to go.
Kevin Kugler on the Westwood One NCAA Radio Network. Jarrett Culver's go-ahead hoop, followed by a pair of free throws for the Red Raiders, led 68-65 in the final minute in Minneapolis. But DeAndre Hunter got UVA even with a three with 12 seconds to go. And then the Cavaliers snuck away in OT for an 85-77 triumph and the first national title in program history. Texas Tech almost had its first, but head coach Chris Beard thinks it'll come soon.
We're not going anywhere. You know, we'll be back in this tournament sooner than later, and We intend to be a part of college basketball as we build the program.
Beard got only 15 points on 5 for 22 shooting from Jarrett Culver. Hunter led UVA with a career-high 27 despite missing his first 7 shots last night. Kyle Guy at a 24 was named Final Four Most Outstanding Player.
Okay.
Taz, back to you.
No, you got to finish.
On the coaching carousel, Rick Barnes tempted by UCLA. He's going to stay at Tennessee. And Chris Mullin expected to step down at St. John's, according to multiple reports. Baseball last night, the Orioles beat the A's 12-4, but Chris Davis struck out his last 2 times up, 0 for 5 total. He is now 0 for his last 49 dating back to last season. That is the longest such drought ever by a position player. The Mariners smacked the Royals 13-5. Edwin Encarnacion homering twice in an 8-run 6th inning. The Yankees lost in Houston 4-3. The Angels topped the Brewers 5-2. And the Cardinals stopped the Dodgers 5-game win streak 4-3 in St. Louis. Guys.
All right. Thank you, Andrew.
Great job, buddy.
Appreciate it. Rick Barnes says no thanks to UCLA. We'll get into that next. It's Taz. It's Moose on a Tuesday morning right here, CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
It is. So the UCLA Bruins continue to look for a new head coach. As Rick Barnes says, thanks but no thanks. They're now 2-for-2, right, in terms of getting guys raises, Taz. They got John Calipari, a lifetime contract, and both with SEC schools. At Kentucky, and now Rick Barnes gets a new contract at Tennessee to remain the Volunteers head coach as he decides that they say thanks but no thanks to UCLA. I mean, amazingly enough, they offer John Calipari less money to go to UCLA than what he's making now at Kentucky. I mean, that to me makes little to no sense.
Business move.
I mean, Taz, they've had months. I mean, months. To kind of put together this coaching search for the UCLA Bruins. Now, number one, you could look at it, all right, UCLA is a storied program, not that great of a program, because expectations are still the days of John Wooden amongst the fan base and the boosters, and that program's no longer that kind of staple in college basketball. How exactly do you go into this where, you know, Musselman goes to Arkansas?
Right.
Right, I mean, you're gonna go get Chris Beard from Texas Tech. Although I don't think he's leaving the
I don't
Red
think
Raiders.
He's Texas Tech.
Where exactly is UCLA going now for a job? Because Rick Barnes, who many basically said that he was very intrigued, would take the UCLA job if offered, stays. And then the reports were that he was torn, stay at Tennessee. But Taz, how do you fire a guy in Alford? You know, well over 100 days ago. 100 days ago. Think about how long ago they fired Steve Alford, and we are sitting here in April. And they have still yet to find a head coach or really have any kind of discernible game plan in terms of where they're going to go.
So if you're an alumni of that school, how pissed off are you? If you're a booster to that school, to the Bruins, how pissed off are you? And more importantly than all that, if you're a top recruit that is considering that you want to play for UCLA, why the heck would you even go there? You don't even know who the coach is going to be. So that affects them immensely in every level. You know, so... Yeah, it's bad business by the office, the AD office, and in the school itself of UCLA. You would be shocking enough.
But I mean, Taz, you know, we've both been around the block a little bit, right?
Yeah.
I mean, so you look at it, you would think if I fire said person, they're not doing the job that I'm capable of. This is what I want in the next head coach, right? Blank, blank, blank,
right.
Blank, blank, whatever it might be. Great recruiter, guy that can wind into whatever it might be, right? I want this offensive style, you know?
Yeah.
Whatever the feel is and the vibe that you want to go. And then you put together a list of names. I mean, think about this. Their first offer out there was to try and woo – they waited for Kentucky to get eliminated.
With Calipari, right.
And woo John Calipari by offering him less money than he's making now. Who the hell is leaving?
No.
He's making $9.25 million a year at Kentucky. They offered him $8 million.
And
why would you ever leave a job for? Leave one job for another and make less money
and up and move your family?
Why would
across
you ever
the country
do that?
Why are you doing that? No, I agree. And you built a legacy in Kentucky.
What the hell are they doing at UCLA?
No, Coach Cal's not stupid. He's smarter than that at UCLA, and you're not getting Chris Beard either.
Where are they going? I don't know where they're going.
Mikey
really
B is where they should look. Yes. Mikey being
Luke Walton. Yes.
New coaches.
Oh, maybe Luke Walton.
Luke Walton. Wow.
I don't know if that
could
would
be L.A. Jones.
Right.
Yeah, L.A. Jones. I got it.
Taz Moose, CBS Sports Radio.